All right, everybody, welcome to the Infinite Mouth. I am your host, Anthony, and we are back for another show. This is not going to be a terribly long one. This one's going to be out for Monday, and I'm recording it a little early because we've got enough information, and there's going to be some information that comes out this week, I think. And I just want to say thank you for all the people that have messaged me and said that they truly loved the last show. I'm really appreciative that you did like the last show, and we'll try and keep that fire for this show. There's tons and tons of things that are out there. I'm going to give some personal stories of some interactions that I had via social media, and hopefully that'll give you at least enough of a chuckle. So I think for this show, the easiest place to start has to do with the sports. Most of those people that have followed this show, followed me, understand that I have been into sports my entire life. I'm not the guy who just goes out there. I can't stand LeBron James, and I can't stand LeBron James because I think he's a poor basketball player. I don't like LeBron James because I think he's fake. That's why. There's no other way about it. I think his personality, his character is a show. Now, I'm not close enough to him, obviously. I've never met him. Right? So people are going to point those fingers and say, well, you never met him. Why are you judging him? All this other stuff. Fair points. Absolutely. But I'm allowed to have an opinion. And just because I have an opinion doesn't make it racist. And just because he's black and I'm white, this does not automatically turn into a racial thing. And actually, my beef isn't anywhere with LeBron James in this discussion. But it does have to do with basketball. It also has to do with soccer. The men and women teams, the men's basketball team and the women's soccer team, were embarrassed in their first showing in the Olympics. Anthony, what does it matter? It's just the Olympics. Okay. If you don't think that the Olympics are important and play a role in society or play a role in societal values, It's part of the reason why people want to be the best, right? So before you had all of this exposure with the media and before you had all this exposure with television, all these different things, the Olympics were where you competed. It really was, you know, Miracle on Ice, USA versus Russia. The women's soccer team, when they won, I think they had beaten like Brazil or something like that. And, you know, this was years ago. Men's basketball team, you know, like with Jordan, with the Dream Team and all these that they went. It was just this show. It was this show of talent. It was everything you ever wanted, how we all grew up. And it's what we looked at, right? You showcase your best. The United States is not doing that. And, you know, and I'm sorry for the people who don't care about sports as much. This is only going to take a couple minutes, but this is extremely important to society. So I want people who sit there, maybe don't care about sports much. I think you should listen. And I think you should listen to what's being said for the reason and way I'm going to present it. We have put our B and C quality players on those teams because the other players now run what they do. Now, I am not saying that they shouldn't have a right to not play or do this or do that. Here's the truth. This is a problem we have in our own society. It is not important for those people. They feel that they are bigger than the Olympics. It's a change. It's a change over the years, the way we used to view the Olympics, the way we viewed this type of international competition. Honestly, the money's too big in the United States. There's no reason to prove yourself. What do you care when you're rich? I'm not saying people shouldn't get money. I'm not saying that they shouldn't make what they're making. That's not the argument. The argument is societally, as a society, and the way the ideology seems to morph and adapt and mutate, if you will, this is what we're facing. And this is why we are facing it. If our people, right, first of all, the women's soccer team, they were never that good. Let me just say that, okay? The women's soccer team were never that good, okay? That's my own opinion. And we're now seeing that they've put their activism, they've put their politics, they've put their interest on where they can get sponsorship money over how they actually play. losing 3-0 in the first, they're going to absolutely lose a medal. They're irrelevant at this point. They lost the first game. Anthony, that could just be that, you know, Sweden and or Switzerland is just so much better. Okay. I mean, you want to argue that? That's perfectly fine. Argue that, no problem. No problem. But what I'm going to tell you is the problem is way bigger than that. There's conflicts there. You have people that want to be there, and then you have people who don't care to be there. The only reason why they care to be there is so that they could yell an agenda. That causes rifts. Why? Because when you play sports, the primary concern and primary purpose of every single person in that locker room is to work together as a team the same way you do as a family unit to achieve the goal. That's it. That's the secret sauce. That's what it's all about. It's what it's always been about. It's not there. And those two sports, which are predominant sports for us to compete in, we were absolutely irrelevant. The U.S. men suffered first Olympic basketball loss since 2004, beaten by France 83-76 in an opener at the Tokyo Games, according to the Associated Press. Now, I have been very outspoken about the way that basketball is played. I really don't care to watch it. I will watch very specific games if I like the players that are there, but as quality as a whole, it's trash. It's absolute trash. They couldn't compete. There's no way that they would compete with the older teams. The Jordan era, the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. They're softer than a wet fart. There's no reason for them to go for it and fight. I don't think they're going to do it. Team USA did not medal for the first time since 1972 on the opening day of the Olympics in Tokyo. That's the female soccer team. Now, go look back. Go look at all the controversies that are swirling around players on those teams due to their activism, due to things that they previously said, due to things that they've done, associations that they have with other people. Go do the research for yourself. Megan's not going to have a good couple months when she comes back from Tokyo. I'll just tell you that. But that's enough of that. Because honestly, it's so goddamn irrelevant. It's ridiculous. The women's soccer team's irrelevant. Not because I don't like women's soccer. They're irrelevant. They've been irrelevant for a long time. Men's basketball team, I'm going to tell you right now, most of the people that are playing on that basketball team, they're B-quality players, even in the NBA. There you go. Except for a few. Majority of them, just take or pick. Pick them out of a bunch. It doesn't make a difference. They offer nothing special. And that's why we'll fall to whatever we fall in those sports. But that's it. Just upset because you always want your country to dominate and you at least want it to always be close. And it really wasn't that close on either one of them. So when you're competing as a person who likes to compete and a person who likes to watch people compete, it's sad. It's just sad. And hopefully it changes and we come back with that want to win, want to play. And do things like that as opposed to lallygagging it over there. It's not impressive at all. It's pretty sad. But let's get into the fun stuff. So still getting over this cough. I apologize. Let's get into the fun stuff. Now, according to the Daily Mail, here's an article that was written. Something seriously wrong with Joe. Ex-White House physician Ronnie Jackson says he believes the president, 78, will be forced to resign or will face the 25th Amendment because he is not fit for office. Well, Lottie freaking da. No kidding. Ex-White House physician tweeted, something seriously wrong with Biden, and it's only going to get worse. It's past the point of embarrassment. He's lost. He's confused. He can barely put a coherent sentence together. He's Potato Joe. Did you guys expect anything different? You didn't even need Trump to call it. But there was an actual article for Dementia that played on getting ice cream for old people with dementia because it releases the friction. Dementia is essentially friction points. And the more often that your brain runs into this friction point, either because it can't remember, either because it can't trace the memory, either because it can't, whatever the scientifics behind dementia is, ice cream helps. Haven't you seen this jackass getting ice cream every freaking time you turn around? He couldn't continue a conversation with the lady behind the counter in which where he was buying ice cream. And you want us to put, the guy can't have a sentence. He can't finish one. Now, I have had family members that either had dementia, that look in Joe Biden's eyes. He does not know where he is half the time. There is a point in which he short circuits and you honestly think you should just shock him and he'll come back to life. He is such a fucking potato. I can't take it. If you haven't thought about this at this point, the guy is a walking potato. It's only Harris has already been distancing herself. Everybody's distancing themselves. Like he's just going to explode. Like, and all that's going to be left is like a hearing aid, right? Here's Joe Biden. Dude, the guy, it's pathetic. It adds credence to every single thing that we've thought from previous and what we're seeing now. He is a shell. And not only are we laughing at him, because let's not get it mistaken. We're not in this to, oh, we're laughing with Joe. You know, Joe, you're funny. We're laughing with you. No, man. We're all laughing at the fact that people actually would have rather chose that than Trump. And what we know is that they didn't. So that's exactly the reason why they had to cheat for this idiot to sit in that seat. A majority, 55% of Americans, now pessimistic. They have lost that optimism about the direction of the country and it has plummeted nearly 20 points since May. A new ABC News Ipsos poll finds. And I'll say it again. Magic number, 30%. Add 30% to that number. Not 30% to the 55%. Add 30% to the final number. And I'm telling you now, that's the real number of where we're at. Okay? So just a heads up. I've said that magic 30% more and more and more. Wait a second. Kissinger might be added by Pelosi to the January 6th committee. I mean, do I really have to go into this one? Have you guys not seen this? There's nothing to it. It is so out in the open. They're fighting months and months and months ago. They can't stand each other. Did you hear the things that he said about Pelosi, about Democrats? Get up on that high horse and ride away. Nah, man. That guy is a slime ball. An absolute slime ball. He's done the exact same thing they have all done for years. Nobody is surprised. But what's pretty funny is, from Code Monkey actually, the dodgy Dems in Texas ran away on the day that the bill for the Texas forensic audit dropped. Why did they run away? Would they potentially lose their elected/selected positions if a forensic audit is conducted? It's a good question. Now, don't forget, reports from last year where the lying media was trying to deceive us by suggesting that Texas was turning blue. Yet without all of those Texas Democrats, the bills passed just fine. Are you not picking this up yet? You picking up what I'm putting down? No? You picking up what I'm putting down? Man, oh man. So listen, here's the deal. I'm going to jump back really quick. I want you guys to understand this conversation as we're talking about sports, right? Because people lying all over the place, right? You hear the stuff about sports, isn't it? So I had this guy. He's a gay man. We're on Facebook. We're talking about it. And he says, oh, it's so nice. You know, people not judging. Look at what Tokyo's doing. Because it was a co-ed, like, you know, like figure skating, something like that. Like, are you an idiot? Are you seriously an idiot? He goes, that's why they could do it with golf and they could do it with this and that. And I'm like, why don't golf men and women play? When you go to a golf course, there's ladies' tees and male tees. Why? Because the guy hits the ball further. Okay? It's a disadvantage. The male hits the ball further. Period. Okay? Tennis. Why don't men and women play that way? Because the ball speed from a serve from a man is faster than that of Serena Williams. Why do you think Serena was so dominant for so long when she's so big? Because she basically hit it like a man. It's that simple. Go ahead and look at the speeds. And then come back and tell me it's because she was so amazingly athletic. Because she is. But that's not the only reason. Swimming. You put Michael Phelps against the best female that there is no chance. And I'm talking Michael Phelps out of Olympic shape. Test it. I dare you. It's not even close. You want to talk about wrestling? There you go. Why don't women play in men's basketball? Why don't they play in baseball? Why don't they play in hockey? Why don't they play in football? Because they would end up dying. It's not really a sport. It's not fun to watch. Why don't men fight women in UFC? Huh? Because it wouldn't work. That's why. It wouldn't work. It doesn't work. My God. It's like, I feel like I gotta yell, get off my lawn. The stupidity is so thick. It is unbearable. Fauci, people are sort of raising their eyebrows a bit by the apparent steep fall off in the Pfizer vaccine's effectiveness that the Israeli data seems to suggest, according to the New York Times. Dr. Fauci also says he's now considering to recommend all Americans, even vaccinated, to wear masks in public. Eat my ass. With jelly, syrup, toast it, butter it up, slap a few other things on it, I don't care. Douse it with sprinkles and then chew on the balloon nut. That's what you can do. And then eat the whole bag when you're done. You cannot even make up this stupidity. And the more, and this is why I've been saying that this publisher versus platform argument is going to continue to happen, and why you see so many people being silenced across the board or different things taking place, and why it's very simple. Because people's attentions can be grabbed very easily and they can be diverted from that mainstream as they already have by 65%. Insane. I mean, I've been trying to tell people this for so long. And I'm glad that the people are waking up to the points and they're hearing and re-listening and listening and listening and listening even more and paying attention to that platform versus publisher and truly understanding who's successful and who's not. When you're seeing these people shrouded, look what's happened at ESPN. They've been eating their own at ESPN. Look what's been happening in the news. Those people are eating their own. Every chance that they can stop and turn around and criticize somebody else to try and get a percentage of that market share of followers for whatever the hashtag or trending topic may be at that moment, you watch. They're all doing it. And people have caught on. There's nowhere to run on that. Trump exposed the entire government. That's why none of them can run. Every move they make is so scrutinized. Changes have been happening. Under the watchful eye is all this entire thing. That's what I just read to you about Texas. And I'm going to read to you about it right now. Okay? And I'm also going to read to you a little bit about Arizona. What data drives were deleted by Maricopa County? Adjudicated ballots files were deleted. In addition, copy from Karen Fan's letter. We have recently discovered that the entire database directory of the D drive of the machine EMS primary has been deleted. This removes election-related details that appear to have been covered by the subpoena. In addition, the main database for the election management system, EMS software, results tallying and reporting is not located anywhere on the EMS primary machine, even though all of the EMS clients reference that machine as the location of the database. This suggests that the main database for all the election-related data for November 2020 general election has been removed. Question number two, what do we know about the adjudicated ballots in Maricopa County? Adrian Fontes, former Maricopa County recorder, instructed voters by way of social media flyers and mailers to cross out errors on their ballots if they made a mistake. You never do that, you jabroni. This is despite being ordered not to do this by the Arizona Supreme Court. Question number three, what else do we know about the adjudicated ballots? Here's the answer. Kelly Dixon, Maricopa County Elections Assistant Director, Recruitment and Training, instructed election workers to hand out Sharpies. Many Republicans were forced to cast their votes with a Sharpie, which resulted in a much higher error rate. Many ballots were spoiled and then needed to be adjudicated. Not only ballots marked with Sharpies made the ballot very easily to identify and separate. What are the adjudicated ballot numbers in Maricopa County? Total ballots tabulated in Maricopa County, 2,089,563. Total ballots sent to adjudication, 235,392. Allowable rate, 0.0008. This was way above that. Total ballots sent to adjudication and no action taken, 103,191. If you haven't been paying attention for a long time, guess what? The numbers don't match up. The adjudication process is currently designed to allow voter fraud through changing votes from one candidate to another. Will the ballots sent to adjudication with no action taken be audited? Good questions. Very, very good questions. Stellar questions, if I may. Now, according to Liberty Overwatch, documents suggest Raffensperger may have staged a fake election audit in November. Kevin Mancia was interested in reviewing the audit report by Pro-V&V that Secretary of State Raffensperger repeatedly cited as confirmation of Georgia's perfect election results. Yet, the actual audit report by Pro-V&V could not be found anywhere. After an exhaustive search and in disbelief that the audit report had gone unpublished, we submitted a Freedom of Information Act request to the state of Georgia for records of the audit, Mancio reports. Among the documents returned by the state in response to the FOIA request was a memo for fieldaudit.pdf sent via email, presumably from Pro-V&V, outlining the details of the work requested by the Secretary of State. However, the date listed on the memo is Friday, July 16th, 2021. So, what does that mean? You caught, bitch. Mancio was able to confirm that the memo was, in fact, email from Pro-V&V owner Jack Cobb. This revelation suggests that Georgia Secretary of State's office contacted Pro-V&V to help resolve the FOIA request, and Jack Cobb manufactured the memo 8 months after the audit supposedly took place. Furthermore, the Freedom of Information Act documents confirm that the audit did not look at a single ballot and appeared to be confused whether it was investigating four or six counties. Good job, Dick. Good job. Right?
Oh, man. There's going to be a lot of happy faces that turn down. Man, it's terrible. Did McAfee absolutely have a dead man switch? I have no idea. I have no idea. The McAfee stuff coming out right now is curious and could be OP, marketing campaign, or anything else. Someone's putting down a countdown of 2 days and change for information to drop. Now, that's sad. There's huge flooding going on in multiple places all around. And all I want to say is I really, really hope that I really hope that people are safe around the world. I really do. And I hate for the fact of all this stuff that is going on. Now, the Pegasus Project, there's way more to that. What I had put there, Pegasus is a spyware as a service sold to customers by a company named NSO Group. Okay? The cost of deploying a spyware like Pegasus is, even by conservative estimates, rather steep. According to estimates based on documents of the NSO Group's commercial proposal acquired by the New York Times in 2016, the Israeli spyware maker priced its surveillance tools on par with traditional spyware companies. $500,000 installation fee, followed by $650,000 to spy on 10 iPhones or Android users, $500,000 for 5 BlackBerry users, or $300,000 for 5 Symbian users. Well, that was a mouthful. Further surveillance targets, according to the report, require the client to pay an additional fee of $800,000 for 100 extra targets, $500,000 for 50 extra targets, and $150,000 for 20 extra targets. In addition, NSO also charged an annual system maintenance fee of 17% of the total cost of every year after the initial order. The charges were for an initial fixed period of time with renewals costing extra. Crazy. Right? Crazy, right? Man, have I been saying this for a long time. Man, Mike Lindell has PCAPs that prove there were a cyber operation that targeted the election networks. Then first we need to think about how he got the PCAPs. Okay. I know that's a little bit over some people's heads. Don't worry about it. That's what I'm talking about with some of this information that will be coming out. Okay. That's why I tell you, you guys got to wait. Be patient. I will break it the second it happens. All right. I know that was a ton of information. And it was fun to do. It was absolutely fun to do. Here's what I'm going to tell you. This week and next week, over the next 2-3 weeks, there's going to be a lot of news that continues to drop and drop and drop down. Even further. The rabbit hole will be deeper and further than it has ever been before. But this week, you're going to hear news that makes you smile in one way or another. So just know that as you go through this, as we all stick together through this, as we find a livable solution so people aren't so divisive and aren't fighting in every step that they possibly can, I just want you guys to know, thank you for all the love and support. Thank you for everything that you've done. I love you. I thank you, and I will be putting out a show come Tuesday. Hang tight. Get ready for it. There's going to be a ton of more interviews that are coming out over the next couple weeks. We're going to be recycling other interviews that we had done before. If you hadn't had a chance to catch those, please do. But just understand, the content is flowing. And now that I'm feeling better, we'll keep the funny, exciting podcast coming out. For all those people out there, thank you so much for all your love and support. I can't thank you enough. And I just want to tell you, stick with me. I got your back. And if nobody's told you that they love you, I love you too. Once again, I am your host, Anthony, and you've been listening to The Independent Mouth. We'll see you at the next show.